Good morning. Good morning. This is, thank you for coming, because generally we don't, I mean, it's not like we don't have class on the last day, but thank you for coming. I've got a couple of things we want to share this morning, and one of which is what happened up in L.A. There's also two other people that I've asked to share about ministry, one on a paper that they've done. Andrew's going to share on his paper, and then it's awesome. And also, I've asked Sophia to share about her international ministry she's going to be doing very soon. And, you know, some of your papers that you sort of put out there as, you know, hypothetical, and that's kind of what they were supposed to be about. We got to remember, if the Lord is actually putting it as a reality, and I just, you know, you wrote it, you kind of thought through it, you kind of went, I don't know if this could ever happen, then all of a sudden it starts to happen. I'm just curious, how many of you are actually going to do what your paper was written about? I'm just curious. Oh my gosh. Really? Okay, so I'm going to ask you to really, if you can do this, just we have about a little over an hour here this morning. And what I'm going to ask you to do is if you have that paper and it's becoming a reality, if you can condense, and I know it's frustrating to do this because it's always, because you always want to, the minute you start talking up here, you start going like, well, I've got to do this for an hour, you know. Try to keep it to 3 to 5 minutes maximum. I think everybody in here would like to hear about what God's doing. And I think, you know, just by taking it from this idea into a reality is such a faith statement. It is such, that's exactly the way any one of these outreaches should originate. That they should not be by compulsion. They should not be by pressure. And you know what? The devil loves to stop it. This Holy Spirit loves to lead it. He can also forbid it. We're seeing all kinds of aspects of that, not only from Acts, but the way your life is. Because this is just, again, this is a life of generating that, at this Bible college, the key A word called attitude. That's what this is about here. You think you're coming here to get the information, all the head knowledge about science or whatever you're going to be here for. And reality is that the Holy Spirit brings everybody here, teachers included, believe me. Attitude. Because when you look at the number of things that can frustrate the daylights out of you here, I can tell you right now, the Holy Spirit does a beautiful job of showing you how he can lead you when you have the right attitude. Now, what is attitude based on? It's learning that word, 1 Timothy 6:6, being content with such things that you have, number one. Number two is my attitude about pleasing God or pleasing man. Because when we get into that habit of trying to please man, we get a really bad attitude. Because you'll never please anybody completely. Not only that, but all of your plans can often foil. They can often go awry. Why? Because not everything is going to go your way here. You've probably figured that out already after eating in the cafeteria. You realize that it just isn't going to be your life. And it's learning to let the Holy Spirit show you that in the center of all that, even if you are chained to a wall in some drive-by prison, like your dorms often feel, the Lord uses that to show you that even there you can praise him. Even there, that can be a place where God can bring forth his glory powerfully. Let's all stand up. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Jesus, that you give us this little segment of our lives, this fragment of our time on this planet, to be able to just rest and know that you are God. We thank you for that testimony, Lord Jesus, that you're working in our lives. You're leading us to those next steps, understanding that this laboratory at this Bible college is an amazing landmark in our lives to be used for that next step, that next area of ministry. As you open doors and close them, we praise you, Jesus, that we can listen to you. And when a door opens, we can have that attitude of joy. And God, even that same sense of joy when that door can close. So we ask right now that you would just look at our hearts, look at our attitudes, look at the way we are inside, what we're bringing here. And let it be a demonstration of that love and preferring one another with that foot-washing attitude as we're longing, Lord Jesus, to serve you by loving one another with giving attention, respect, attitudes for one another in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So with that attitude of respect, I'm going to ask Ricky, I'm going to ask him to come up. There's a 3-minute video that they're going to show about the LA outreach, and then we're going to have the different people come up. But again, as you're seeing this, and as the Lord's been speaking to you, try to take what you wrote. If it's becoming, only if it's becoming a reality. If it's not, I get it. It's okay. But take it and make it so that it can be understood in about 3 minutes. Are you good with that? Yeah? Okay, great. Rick, go ahead.
So you just want me to share like that? Well, there's music to the video, so I don't know if you could hear me. But it's not playing. All right, so that's where we speak and where the worship happens. And all of the equipment is already there. So we just pretty much go there with people who are willing to serve. Most of these people, the only things that they have are stuff that people have given them. And same with the Bibles and doctrine and just everything. What's going on? I do want to share something, though. This wasn't an outreach to me. This is something that I want to do regularly. I don't personally feel like you make disciples by making outreaches. You know, Jesus didn't go out and make outreaches. He had relationships with his disciples. So if you guys are considering doing things like this, which many of the men and women in this class are capable of doing, you just need to take a step of faith and just go out there and do it. God will provide everything else. And I just hope that your guys' hearts are in the people that you're outreaching to, and that you'll continue to reach those people. Because Troy, the head guy over there, told me that these people see people come regularly, and it doesn't really mean that much because they just come and they leave. So if any of you ever go out and do anything for the Lord, have intentions of going back and building relationships with these people. Like I said before, you don't make disciples by just going out there once. You know, you build a relationship with that person. And there's Shay. Shay is an off-campus student standing right there, and most of you guys don't know him because he's really shy. But I love that guy. It was pretty crazy. This is the second time that the Lord did the same thing. We had no idea what we were going to do, but God provided all the people, all the food, all the worship leaders, testimonies. That guy right there is a pastor for one of the churches that's involved in this warehouse. Mikey was sharing his testimony right there. It touched a lot of people. Muted. Michelle shared her testimony. I almost cried. Debbie, I'm sorry. Debbie, I'm so sorry. And I spoke on John 11. It was a really cool time. The best thing I thought the best thing that I saw was everyone was getting spoken to. Everybody. And that was what really hit me the most, was that every single person got spoken to. So that guy, by the way, was huge. Like, I was standing up there and I asked anyone if they wanted prayer, and the guy stood up and I was like, and then he walked towards me and I was just like, he was gigantic. I had spoken on Lazarus, and I guess when I had read a scripture, when Jesus said to come forth, some guy had got really excited, and he jumped up, and the guy next to him was a pastor, and led him into Christ, and apparently that guy had been carried in, because he couldn't walk, but then he left out walking by himself. So I thought that was pretty crazy. I mean, this guy had fingernails this long, he smelled like pretty bad. But he accepted the Lord and he walked out of there, a believer, with the Lord. Does anyone else want to share? I can't just come up here and share. Mikey.
I really don't know what to share about, but it's a lifelong experience going there. Just getting to see everybody like so touched. The people, like the homeless people that were out there, they were so loving and so caring for like everyone that was there, the people that were serving them. Like, we could pray for them. Everyone wanted prayer. Everyone wanted to hear. Like, Ricky, my testimony, Debbie's testimony, the people that were there serving, like, it showed so much love and so much concern for these people that these people were just, like, they were touched. They were so touched. Like, some people wanted to cry. Seeing that guy, dude, that was so amazing seeing that guy. We got to, me and Shay got to pray for him. And this guy was, like we were speaking truth into his life. And he was just, like, oh, like, this guy that got healed. And he, like, just so powerful to see this guy, like, touched. And then to see him walk out, to see him blessed, to being, like, I mean, no offense, but this guy, like, really, really rank. And, like, just being able to, like, I was speaking to him, and I was talking to him, and the Lord had spoken to me, this is what my people smell like. This is what I'm calling you to do. I'm calling you to reach out, not just to these people, but out to the lost. Because spiritually, like as Ricky had spoke on, spiritually these people are dead. These people don't know whether or not they're going to heaven or hell, or whether or not they're alive or they're dead, and they're just like they're rotting corpses. And this man, before he came in there, was spiritually dead, and he smelt like that rotting corpse, like Lazarus before he came out, before Jesus called him out. And that's so powerful to see that, to see God actually move through these people, and these people wanting to willing to receive. And I think like we as a body need to reach out and go out and make those disciples, and not just go out for an outreach because we want to be blessed. Going out there, blessing these people was such a blessing for me in return. Just getting to see like God's like healing power, getting to see God's spirit move was like, it says blessed or not blessed. It is better to give than to receive. Well, I gave and I received so much more than actually getting to give. It was such a blessing and it touched so many people's lives. So I'd encourage you guys, all of you guys, like, if you ever get a chance to go out and serve, put it, like, your full heart into it. And just be blessed, because God's going to bless you guys.
Hi. What a blessing God is for in our lives here. Because going out there, God put a fire in my soul a long time ago, you know, just to be a disciple of many people, you know, and he says not just to the rich but to the poor, not to the people that already know him but the people that don't know him. And what he's put on my heart more than anything is the message that he gave to Jonah. He says, Jonah, how will they know if you don't tell them? Because Jonah refused to go out there because he didn't see anything but sin, and he was running from the Lord. You can't run from the Lord. You just can't do it, you know. And he had to be rebuked in a fish. You know, so, you know, God, don't let God throw you into that fish, because wherever he's calling you to, you're going to do it. Whether you know it or not, you're doing it day by day, step by step. And the Lord shows me that so much. You know, he called me to write. He called me to be a vessel used, to use my hands and to use my heart, because my heart is for the lost. Okay, if you want to be a heart for the lost, then you're going to be used for the lost. So can you go out there and be that vessel used? Can you go out there and put a tent out there on that street? I said, but Lord, I've been there for 25 years. I was out there, you know, and that's fear in me. But he says, you know, it's his spirit that I live by. So I don't have to live out there, but I can go out there. If I want to be used, then I'm going to be used wholeheartedly for the lost. There was this one lady out there that was so priceless. She was so precious. She was just horrible. I mean, she was just absolutely broken. And you could tell that she was demon-possessed, and you could tell that she was just off the chain, gone. But when you stood there, when I stood there and spoke to her, the wisdom that came out of this woman to me was absolutely amazing. And the love, it was like Christ pouring out his spirit in her, because all of a sudden she came back, her mind just came back. And all she could talk about was my hair. Is that your hair, girl? Is that your hair, girl? She's like, so is that your hair, girl? Yeah. And she wanted me to get some money out of a window or something. I said, I don't think so. But just to sit there and talk to her, to see how much sense God had placed inside of her you know, because she knew of God, but she didn't know of Jesus. She knew the right from wrong, but it was hard for her to contain it in her mind, you know. So I'm thinking, Lord, all you want me to do is show her love. I would have loved to have taken that woman in my arms and just, like, given her the biggest hug, but she didn't want me to touch her, you know, but it was okay. And it's those kind of people that God wants us to reach, the people that love the unlovable. And all you have to do is love them with the love of Jesus Christ. Just be there, ready to be used by him. Be in that spot at that moment and say, okay, God, this person is so broken. What can I do? And then his spirit will do the rest. All you have to do is be willing to be a vessel used by him. And that's what I wanted to do. And I have to say, from this ministry, it was such a blessing. God birthed a ministry through me because I actually started writing, you know, and I started a ministry called The Redeeming Love. Because the papers that I'm writing is about the lost and the brokenhearted. There's so many artists down there in that area of the warehouse. I just had to take pictures, you know, and put some of those pictures up of what God is doing. And one of the pictures that I got was just the word pain, you know, and it's just the pain that goes on through those areas that God is trying to heal, you know. And it was just, I'm doing this ministry, so if anybody by chance took pictures of the art that was there, please send them to my email, because they're going on a paper to churches, and they're going to go out because the ministry's already started. God has got it, and it's in his control now. So please send them to my email, and I'll give you that if you want it later. Okay, but he also wanted me to talk about Fiji, and these people are the same people that are going to be in Fiji when I go there, you know, and I know, because when you ride through Fiji, it's just like that. Is they're not living on in tents because it's against the law, but they're living in homes that have no doors. They're living in houses that are made that have no roofs. They're living on the streets, you know. Cows have more respect than people there, and that's the honest truth, you know. But God is sending Christians out to be used and to bring these people in. And my desire is to have that homeless shelter in Fiji for these people. So he's going to start it here, and then he can move me to other things. So it's a blessing to be used by him, to be his hands, his feet, his heart, his eyes, his everything. Just desire more of him and less of you.
Okay. I've been having conversations back and forth with Pastor David, just a sort of conclusion with that from the LA group. And you know what? He's asking the Bible College and just the teachers here, which I'm going to pass this on to the teachers, that they would organize ongoing, just like Ricky was mentioning, ongoing outreaches or just discipleship downtown. I'm just sort of paraphrasing this. And at least he would like it once a month. So those of you that have a heart to want to go down to downtown LA with this group, it's a great outreach. There's every version of society in Echo Park. My son, what a great example of individuals who just went down there because it's cool. And there's a lot of culture in downtown LA, and you can only imagine the challenges. Lots of artists, lots of Silver Lake, probably the an area that it is cool in a lot of ways, but lots of challenges, obviously. There's a number of the loss that are there. What I've asked, though, is I've asked Andrew also, if you'd come up and just share for a couple of minutes, again, just to condense it and bring down kind of a little bit of our assignments and so on. Thank you, Andrew.
Let's pray real quick. Holy Spirit, we're all here today for you. We're here because of you. We're here through you. And we're here for you. So in Jesus' name, speak, Lord. Amen. If you guys have your Bibles, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Lord's put this on my heart. This is what I wrote about in my paper. Says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And I wrote about in my paper, my heart is our own backyard here in America. These three verses in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is exactly what is happening here in America in our own backyard. America is being built off of these three demonic principles in our schools, in our multimedia, in our mainstream music, and everywhere that you look, you see these three things that originated in the Garden of Eden with Eve, because she saw the fruit that it was good to eat. She saw that it was good for wisdom. The three things that caused her to fall. And I wrote about America because that's where I came from, you know, in high school and the club world and doing my own thing, doing me, wanting to exalt myself over God himself. That's where I came from. And the only reason that the Lord allows me to see these things and speak about these things is because he ministered it to my heart. And I just want to encourage you guys, if your heart is for here, speak. If the Holy Spirit tells you to speak to someone, speak. Because there's people in this country, it doesn't seem like it. The persecution in this country is we're not even seeing it. We haven't seen anything yet. But the deception is on a whole nother level right now. The high schools, the colleges, they're worshiping knowledge. They're worshiping the flesh. They're worshiping themselves. And that's not of the Father. That's of the world. That's what we're dealing with here in America. And the only way that God can deal with it is his Holy Spirit speaking to them. And he desires for all men to come to repentance. He desires for all people in this world to know who he is. And I don't know why. I ask him all the time, Lord, why in the world do you use us? You don't need us. God, that's one thing we have to understand, is God does not need us. He chooses to use us to speak to a dying world and a dying generation. And I just want to encourage you guys. This is a verse that has changed my life radically. Thank God. And it's Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 through chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. Do what you want in the sight of your eyes. He's basically saying YOLO. Well, look what he says. Look what he says right here. But know, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. But remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And I just want to encourage you guys, let the Holy Spirit possess your lives today. Any sin that's in our lives, any sin that's in my life, give it to him. Because the only way we overcome, we already have victory in Jesus. The victory is already won. It was paid on the cross. It was paid when he resurrected from the grave. We walk in victory in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the world needs to know that. Because God desires the world to know his son, Jesus. And I just want to encourage you guys, whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you want to do, whatever that's hindering you from continuing in your walk with Jesus Christ, you can't overcome it in your own flesh. You can't get rid of it yourself. You can't let those things go on your own power. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit. It has to be Jesus Christ himself transforming who you are. It has to be.
But we all have free will. We can choose whether we want God to use us or not. And it's daily. Jesus said, he who cannot forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And that's daily. That's a day-by-day self-denial. And sometimes we, in our own selves, we fear rejection. We get discouraged because God tells us to speak to people and they reject us and they spit on us and they mock us. But I want to encourage you in Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3, when he called Ezekiel to be a prophet, he told him, I want you to go speak to these rebellious people. They might not listen to you. You know what? They probably won't listen to you, he said. But I want you to speak to them and speak to them my words that I give you, whether they listen to you or not. Because it's obedience. God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. So whatever the Lord tells us to speak to this dying generation, don't be afraid. Just speak, because they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God himself. And I just want to encourage you guys, put yourself on the altar. Give God your sin. Give God your selfish ambition, your desires. Give him your life and let him do what he created you to do for this world. Not for yourself, but to glorify him. Not unto us, but to you be the glory, God, because of your mercy, because of your everlasting love. It's all bringing glory to Jesus Christ. It all ends with his glory. The Bible ends with his glory. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And that's what he put on my heart. Die to yourself. Thanks, guys.
Praise God, right? Amen? Amen. Sophia. You know that word, actually, the word Sophia means in Greek, anybody? What? Wisdom, very good. So bring us some wisdom, girl.
I'll try. Hi, everybody. I thought there was a church in here. Hi, everybody. Are you guys awake? Okay. Cool. So my name is Sophia. A lot of you guys don't know me, but that's okay. The Lord knows me. Has anybody heard of something called the world race? Anybody? Couple people. Okay, so basically the world race is a mission trip to 11 different countries in 11 months, and I'm going on it. Woo! In July next year, and I can only attribute this to the move of the Holy Spirit, because Sophia is very comfortable being at home in my warm bed with my reliable shower and food and clothes and all that kind of stuff. But on this mission trip, you know, we're going to live in the same places where these people live, eat their food, and really just be with them in whatever area it is that they are and minister to them. And it's going to be, I don't even like to camp. I don't like dirt. I don't like animals too much. You know, animals have their place and I have mine, but that might all get mixed up on this mission trip. But you know, the Lord led me in this direction. And this class, before I took this class, I kind of, you know, you kind of know what the book of Acts is about-ish. Holy Spirit, okay, cool. Honestly, I took this class because Lou Wing was teaching it, and a couple of people told me, you need to go to his class, and I was like, okay, and I came, and it was just crazy how the Lord used this class to speak to my life and to speak to the ministry that he's put on my heart. And I've been raised in church my entire life, not Calvary Chapel, but in the Pentecostal church. And so we got a whole lot of the Holy Spirit, but not a whole lot of the truth. So this was it coming together. And I don't know. I just really knew that I needed to experience the Lord in a more real way than even, I'm not going to say real, because it is real how we experience the Lord here, but I need to experience the Lord in a new way outside of what I'm used to, what I'm comfortable with. Because, you know, you come up in church and you you get used to how church services go and how speakers speak and, you know, the praise and the worship, and then this happens, that happens, and we go home. And I knew that it was more than that. And so my desire when I'm away on this mission trip and just seeing how people around the world are really hungry for the Word of God, I know a lot of people, and I'm sure you do too, who are just used to the church routine, especially here in America, you know, being a Christian. Everybody and their mother is a Christian, but nobody's really living for God. And people in third world countries are hungry for the Word. And, I mean, Lou was even talking about that when he went to China and how the people sit in classes for hours just to hear the Word of God, and they want that. And I don't know, here in America, in my limited experience, but, you know, we're just so comfortable and nonchalant about our Christianity, and we're really not, I mean, it's an oxymoron, you know, nonchalant Christianity. It doesn't even make sense. So going on the world race, and it's going to be a total move of God to get me there. Takes a lot of fundraising, it's a lot of finances, but mostly it's a lot of prayer, because, you know, we're going to be in some dangerous areas, we're going to be, you know, just out there. And not only do I need finances for the travel, but, you know, for food and all that mission trips, you know, all that mission trips entail. So I'm kind of jumbled up, but I wanted to read Philippians 3 and 7. Really, this is one of scripture that's just part of my heart in general. It says, "But everything that was gained to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them filth, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. And really, that's my heart going out on this mission trip and just in my walk with Christ in general. I want to know Christ, and I don't want to spend a life that's wasted being comfortable or just doing what I want to do and trying to mask that with Christianity when there's a dying world that needs to know the Lord. And not only in third world countries, but here in America, and even in our own, everybody else's local church. And so that's really my heart with this. This is not how I envisioned my life, you know, leaving for like a year to be on the mission field. You know, I had my education, wanted to finish school here. The husband is somewhere in that future, praise the Lord. But I had to put all that on the back burner because I knew that, you know, if I'm not doing the will of the Lord, what are we doing? And I don't want my life to be wasted, and I know it won't be wasted because that's not what the Lord is going to have happen with me. So I encourage you guys, you know, whatever ministry the Lord is putting on your heart, whatever he's calling you to do, whether it's going to minister to the homeless in Los Angeles, whether it's going to minister to the lost in your own family, whether it's going to, you know, wake up your own local church or whatever, just do it. You know, the Lord's return is soon. We don't got a lot of time to waste. And it's not about you. It's all about the Lord. So get over yourself and go. Amen? Okay.
Attitude. Thank you, Jesus. We want to thank you for our sister, Sophia, Lord. We thank you with an attitude just exactly as you're speaking to us personally right now. Help us to have that confidence and that assurance that the greatest place on this planet is the center of your will. We ask right now, Lord, that you would speak, not just so that we're just hearing these testimonies of LA, of different places, but Lord, that you're speaking to us right now. Where are we right now with that calling, the gifts that you've given us, that we would be able to take responsibility for what we know and have the wisdom, just like Sophia was sharing just a moment ago, taking a year out to be in the center and letting her eyes and her heart be open and broken, God. We ask in Jesus' name that you would give us that assurance that whatever we step out to do in your name, not only are you in the center of it, but it's where we're going to find that perfect peace with our mind stayed on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See that. Thank you. Thank you. You know, there is something about, you can't just, that's what I'm saying about this book of Acts. You can't just read it, as it were, a narrative. That's not the goal of it. The goal is for us to be able to take it and have it as a map, showing us that these are people that God chose to be examples so that we would have the confidence to know, well, if they can do it, so can I. Paul is the perfect example of that. Everything centered right down to that. And if you think about it, all the Old Testament really began by centering down to a man, well, if God can do it with him, he can do it to anybody, Abraham. He brought it down to Jacob. And if anybody can be like that, he can bring it down to him. And all the examples we see, even throughout the Old and the New, down to Peter, followed by Paul. Now it's you. Because you know what? You came here because you didn't want to waste time. That's not, and the purpose isn't here to be at a country club. That's not the purpose. It looks like it's a country club, but it's very subtle, as you probably have figured out, that there is an ongoing gnawing in your soul of saying, Lord Jesus, if it be of you, nothing's going to stop this. Is this where you're calling me to go? And you know what? All this questioning and off. There's a graduation coming up on Thursday. I regret I'm not able to go to it. I know that there are saints that are in that class that the Lord is calling specifically to areas, and they need that assurance of knowing that they're called there. We need to pray for them. We need to encourage them. And the best way to encourage is to do something. It could be anything, and that's what those papers were for. Those of you that have that knowledge that you can do that little summary in about 3 minutes, stand up and come up here. Awesome. Great. If you know that you can do it in 3 minutes, it's going to take a half hour. I get it. I understand that. You can't condense it. I understand it. But try right now with a time clock. Please, I just want to see who's here. There are a lot more hands that went up, and I know you're afraid. Don't be a chicken. It's okay. This is family. It's okay. You're going like, oh my gosh, multiply that by, and you know what? It goes faster than you think. And while these guys are coming up here and humiliating themselves, I'm going to ask you guys to come up and make them feel like they're in a living room. So get out of your seats from where you are and try to fill up these two areas right here, okay? Make it about letting them realize that you're not out there, you know, going like, yeah, right. No, it's not about that. It's about being in a living room. Let's just make this family time here. You can sit there. It's okay, Danny. You guys said you're good. It's really a trip when you start thinking about the way God opens doors and the way he closes them. And I just got another text from the Bible College there in Kunming, and I'm going. I'm just telling you, I'm going, but it's really, I'm really like, okay, God, since this is of you, I am taking the language door. I am taking Mandarin. I it's not easy. I get it. I also know that this time it's going to be for a longer period of time, so I won't be here next semester. I'm going to come up for a Sunday night next semester, but that's probably it, because I'm going to be gone for a longer period of time. And I just want you guys to know how much I love this school. I love you guys. And I know that this will always be such an important center of my heart, mainly because it's the perfect idea of how to disciple, because you guys have the most openness. I'm also involved with the School of Evangelism at Horizon, and it's kind of like the verb of what the Bible College is.
But as they all know down there, this is where my heart mainly is, and I just want you to know that out loud. I also know that many of you that are at the school are going to be going to the mission field, and many of you are going to be in full-time ministry, whether you know it or not. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to you about these guys talking, this will be, as much as you're just in a different world right now, I get it. You're wondering whether she likes you, he likes you or not. I get that. I'm so with you. I understand. But something that these guys say, whether they know it or not, they're not planning on speaking to you. They're not thinking and studying what your life is like so that you're going to have your conscience pricked. This is a time to let the Holy Spirit speak to you by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Because the Holy Spirit loves to use our words, our testimony, as a statement of saying, wow, I can't believe they just said that. They can be something as drive-by. But ask the Lord to speak to you as they're speaking right now. Father, we just want to turn this moment over to you. We praise you that you speak through the word of our testimony. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a lamp to our feet, light to our path. Help us to have the confidence that as we hear your voice, we will not resist. We will not say no. We will say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that illumination. Help me to have the confidence to make the first step, just like these papers were written. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So again, just, okay, awesome, great, perfect.
Okay, guys. Hello, hello, hello. So I know that you all want to leave, so I'm going to be fast. So I'm going to pray real fast. Like, really fast. Lord Jesus, please help me to be clear and concise and say what it is that you want me to say, and bless your people. Amen. Okay. So, just a little bit of background on me. If you guys don't really know me, I grew up kind of in the church, fell away at like 12 when my grandparents died. I didn't really know what the gospel was. So I started chasing after music, girls, money, fame, all that. And eventually, the Lord brought a girl into my life. She completely destroyed me with the way she was living, and I realized that I was just an absolute wretch, and that, like, she was actually trying to be a Christian. And that just shattered my entire world, and I got saved. Nothing happened with the girl, in case you're wondering. And and then after that, I just started, like, I came here, actually, very shortly after that. 2 years ago, and it was cool. I went to another campus, an extension campus. Some interesting events went down there. Then I went to Colorado, met my mentor, and I was there for about a year. And he was like, "Hey, we're gonna go on a missions trip to Israel. We're gonna go on a tour." And I was like, "Oh, that sounds cool, but I mean, like, I've read my Bible. We're gonna be there anyway. Who really cares? Like, Israel's got their own deal. I'm going to do my own thing, you know? Like, I want to go somewhere else. Like, send me to Africa, God. That's the last place on the world I want to be, you know?" And, but yeah, so we went to Israel, and it was amazing going around and seeing the nation. And I want to read some scripture. This is Zephaniah 2. It says, "Gather, gather together, O shameful nation, before the appointed time arrives, and that day sweeps on like chaff. Before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's wrath comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger." The whole thing is God in his mercy has reassembled Israel back to Israel. Like, he's brought the nation back to its land. And it was crazy being in Tel Aviv, which is the self-proclaimed, like, sin city of the world, pretty much. They want to be the gay capital of the world. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. These are the Jews. These are God's holy people. And they're back in their nation, living in complete and utter sin. And it's really interesting because for a while I thought, oh, okay, well, this is interesting, Lord. Like, in your mercy, you've brought them back. And the Lord's like, no, in my anger, I've brought them back. And I realized that yesterday in Revelation. It's in the Lord's anger that he's brought Israel back to the nation. He's giving them their land back so that he can execute judgment upon them. And I know that's kind of crazy because we talk a lot about grace and all that. But God is a God of wrath and a God of anger and a God of judgment. And Israel is his chosen people that he's chosen to make a name out of himself for. But it's really interesting because he says, "Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land." And while I was there, my heart just started breaking for the people because they have such a zeal for God. They want to love him. Like, you see these dudes with, like, the phylacteries or whatever on their foreheads, and they're over there at the wall, like, doing the whole dodo bird thing. And it's just, like, they stinking, they love this, like, all their traditions. You know, they have this great zeal, but they don't have the true knowledge of the one who can save them. And he wants to. He wants to open up their eyes. You know, all throughout Hosea, he's like, I love you guys. Why won't you come back? All throughout the scriptures, you see that. And even now, he's still saying, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands, seek righteousness, seek humility. What I'm going to be doing, Lord willing, I've been offered a position at Calvary Chapel Haifa as a missionary there to train people to come in and serve the nation of Israel. And that's, like, not necessarily contingent upon me finishing this place. Like, I won't be doing anything with the school, really. But in any event, the whole idea is when we were there, they had this ministry reaching out to the homeless. And it's amazing in Israel because the homeless people don't want you to realize that they're homeless. Like, they'll be sitting there begging, but then if you come up and say, hey, can I get you some food? They're like, oh, no, 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 no. You know, do you need some shoes? No, I don't need shoes. What? You don't have any shoes on your feet and you don't need shoes. You know, ridiculous stuff like that. But the Lord is calling the humble. And so my heart, I guess, in going to Israel is I want to be there for God's people. I'm unbelievably grateful that God would choose the Jews to make a name for himself, that he would send a redeemer through them to come and find little old Bobby living in Colorado, who's this terrible, wicked sinner who's completely against him. And then what does he do? He finds me and pours out his mercy on me and his grace. So I want to give back to them. I want to go back over there and find those who are humble, the ones who are willing to seek their Lord, and say to them, your God is alive and your God cares about you, and he's not dead and he's not sleeping and he's not, it's not that he can't hear you, but your sins have separated him from you. So repent. Repent and turn back. And that's pretty much it. Thanks for listening, you guys.
As you guys already know, my name is Antonio, and I have shared on what I want to do. This weekend, from the days of Friday until Sunday night, I had the opportunity of going up to Julian and being with a group of kids that I've known since they were in elementary school. They're now in high school. And pretty much just sharing a Christmas winter camp with them. And pretty much just sharing, you know, being able to be up there and witness just, you know, some of the things that the camp has taught them just come to fruition, and a lot of them with Bible studies and games, and we did a live nativity scene up in Julian. But what I'm up here for is the fact that not only that, but every year during the summertime and wintertime, this camp brings more people, more foster kids to Christ. And it just keeps on doing it. And it's been doing it for the last 13 years that I've been a part of it, and longer, since way before I was even born. And I just wanted to share with you guys because the directors asked me to see if anybody had a heart to come up and be junior counselors or even counselors to help, you know, just teach these kids something that they've all need to learn, that God is there for them no matter what they do. No matter where they are in their life, that with the help of God and with the help of Jesus and with their love, that they'll be able to get to a place that they want to be. And this summer, one of our main verses that we used was 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 12. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And for me, it was just seeing the work that they do and the work that has been done through this camp in me and in so many other people that I know that are foster kids. It just makes me even more wanting to just continue to go up there. So if you do have a heart to help the foster kids and want to come up and, you know, be a junior counselor or a counselor, come talk to me. I can give you the number to the directors. And you'll see that these kids, they can love so much, but they're hurt that they don't know if anybody will love them back. Thank you.
One of the things you want to do to keep everybody's attention is if you are going to talk in the microphone, talk into it. Because when you're back like this, don't you hate that? And you can barely hear it, and it's a great way to fall asleep. That's actually a great place to, when somebody reads the Bible at this distance, it's perfect for taking a nap. But if you, like in the morning at the Devos, when people are up here, and the Lord said to me when I was like this, like, oh, thank you. At least I get 10 more minutes. Oh, perfect. What was that about? I don't know, but I just loved it. It was perfect. So you know what I'm saying, right? What we're going to do is, remember, the talks that you're going to hear right now are going to focus primarily on the paper that was written and how they were written as a fantasy and they became a reality. That's the goal of the talks, right? Okay? So that's what we're going to do right now, okay? And as they come, it's just going to be, wow. I can't believe that was a fantasy and it's a reality. That's right? So, without further ado, here.
Okay, so this is kind of cool. I have to admit, it's pretty neat just how this all worked out. Pardon me? This is kind of cool how this all worked out. Okay, so... you got it? Okay. So, you guys need to wake up, and you guys need to listen to what these people are saying. Okay. Boom. Anyway, yeah, with authority. Okay, so I'm the youngest of four, and my whole life I've always had this desire and passion to be in the youth. And I absolutely have been, like, prepped and discipled, like, beyond anyone should have been able to just experience my whole life in like a solid youth environment my whole life. And so I remember thinking, like, when I grow up, like, I want to be that amazing, legit youth pastor for like hundreds of kids. Okay, anyway. And so I always had this huge, huge, huge heart for children's ministry and youth and young adults. And I thought, oh man, like, I got the energy, like, I'm going to just, you know, baby Lou Wayne here. So, anyway, then I met this girl my first semester, now my fiance, thank you. And, yep, and she absolutely, right away I got to see that she absolutely loves the missions field, and that's her heart, and she's actually in medical. She's got one more year left of medical, and then she'll be a practitioner. So, you know, power be to her. One night, I remember she told me, she said, I really have this heart and this desire to go to Africa. And I thought, well, okay, that's kind of cool. And then I was thinking myself, I thought, crap, man, like, I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader and be like, hey, baby, I think God's calling us to Africa, you know? And that's how it works. Anyway, so that night I prayed. And this wasn't too long ago, but I prayed and I was like, you know what, God, if this is something that you want both of us to experience, then individually, separately, talk to me, you know, like, bring it to my attention and be like, yes, Walter, like, don't listen to what she's saying. I am calling you individually to Africa, and I'm bringing you guys this. So anyway, that happened Saturday night a few months ago. Then the next morning, I didn't want to go to church because, you know, I'm at Bible college. Went to church anyways. And the main pastor there wasn't there. They had a guest pastor from, yeah, Africa, exactly. Of course it's from Africa. It was a couple, older couple, and they were just giving, like, this call, like, hey, we have a place in Africa, and we want you guys to come, you know, everything. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Anyway, so I go and talk to him, and everything happened right there. Like, they were just able to pray with me. He gave me his number. He said, I've got a place for you. We've been praying for a couple like this. She's got a huge heart for medical. I got a huge heart for just kids. And he's like, literally, we need more of you kind of people. Young, excited, and just committed to what the Lord has in store for you. So with all that happening, now we have a place in Africa. We have a family that's going to take us in, and Shree and I are very, very excited just how that all fall into place. So there you go.
All right, I'm going to try to keep mine super quick because, yeah. Okay, so I'm actually transferring to the Bible College in Indianapolis. That's where I'm from. It's a minute away from my house. My ministry back home is going to be fourfold. Yes. He's awesome. I will. Did you know he's planning a church now? Yeah, that's exciting. I wasn't sure how best friends you guys were. So. He's pretty awesome. He's pretty awesome. He hates VeggieTales, though, which that bums me out. But anyway. Okay. We can get over this, Lou. We can. Okay. But anyway. My ministry back home is going to be fourfold. My grandma and my mom, the two people who are paying for me to be out here, are both not saved. I live with my grandma, so she thinks she's saved. So that's one of the main things, is just being a good witness at the house and purposely trying to make an active attempt to give her Jesus. My mom I see about 2 times a week. She is crazy beliefs far off in left field. So pray for Kathy and Dawn. That's both of them and my witness with them. Second ministry is going to be at my school and church and all that, and they really just need a spiritual poke in the side just to get them jumped and stirred up. And I'm really brutally honest a lot of the time, so I'm good at that. And third ministry is there's a camp that I've been at for like 10 years. And do you know Wes Hoff? Yeah, he's the camp director there, and basically all I want to do is just be an arm lifter to him, just make his job easier so he can be around the kids more, and just that'll give them a better view of God and all that. And my fourth ministry is at work. I work at this weird arcade laser tag bowling place, and there's tons of high schoolers I work with who are big into the party scene, and they all really need Jesus, and they're most of the time is nothing to do except for stand around during weekdays. So it's really easy just to have conversations, and it's just very natural. So fourfold ministry, and it's going to be good. And 2 minutes. Boom.
All right, hi, you guys. My name is Brian, for those of you who don't know me. Hey, Miles. I wrote my paper about Russia, and in the beginning, I felt really called to write the paper about Russia, and I didn't realize how much spiritual warfare that I was actually going to experience in writing this paper. But it turned out to be a real blessing, because actually, what happened was when I was doing research on the specific ministry that I wanted to do, I was on the website, and I actually saw Jeremiah like on the website, and so like I talked to him about it, and I'm actually getting plugged in, and I'm going to be doing it not this coming summer but next summer. And so it's such a blessing how that all kind of unfolded, and it was really the Lord. And I just feel that it's so awesome, because I actually get to, with all this advance, I really get to pray for it and really, really pray about the ministry and stuff like that. And it needs it, you guys, because Russia is so dark and sad, and there's so much poverty. But in doing my research paper, I understood that they don't need money, and they don't need entertainment. What they need is Christ's light and love. And in going over there, I'm glad and thankful that I understand that, and I can be just that vessel, and just really show them that, because they are so hurting in terms of money and everything like that. Just because, long story short, what happened is during the Soviet Union, everybody was given a piece of Russia in terms of land. And so what happened was when people were poor and they couldn't afford to feed their families, they actually would sell that land to rich people. And so there's no middle class at the moment. It's all desperate poverty and insanely rich. And there's like so little middle ground. And so also, like, cycling back into what we did in L.A. this weekend, it shows me that no matter what background and what kind of life people are living, everybody needs Christ's love, everybody. And, just to be that light, I'm just so thankful that I can understand that, and the Lord has shown me in such advance 2 minutes. Thank you.
How's it going, guys? My name's Joshua. I kind of cheat a little bit. On my paper, I was involved in the ministry last semester.
But I just kind of wanted to tell you guys how it's like just taking a turn this semester. I don't know if you guys are, any of you guys are familiar with Young Life, yeah, a couple of Young Lifers in here. But last semester, I was just able to just get in contact with some of the leaders and stuff out here. And I didn't really do a whole lot. I just kind of, I just helped out, like, on the sidelines if they needed, you know, just, like, any games prepared or, you know, food stuff, just stuff like that. And I just thought it was cool. Went home over the break. Didn't really know what, if, you know, God was going to use it at all. Thought maybe I was going to take some kids to camp. That didn't happen. Just coming back this semester, I just got in contact with them again, and everything just kind of snowballed, like things started rolling, and I was able to be a part of, they're starting up, trying to start up Young Life at Chaparral High School, so I thought it was kind of cool just with the outreaches that Acts class did to there and all that, So, bringing that together and just being able to meet, like, a ton of new kids, it's just been, like, really sweet. And kind of this semester, like, when I stepped on Chaparral High School, I just really felt like God was putting on my heart just, like, to be a light to these kids. And Ricky was saying earlier about relationships, kind of the thing with Young Life, it's basically like just doing life with kids and like being there for them. And it's not like some super like the word Lou uses, drive-by. It's more like it's like a focused, like you pick, you know, a certain amount of kids and they're like, you just pour into them. And I think, like, in our lives, like, God uses, like, certain people that he wants us just to, like, share with and, like, respect and love. And then he chooses, like, certain people that he puts in our lives that he really wants us to, like be a witness to. And I've just been reading, like, this book, it's called The Master Plan of Evangelism. I haven't finished it yet. It's by a guy named Dr. Coleman, but he just talks about how God, or Jesus Christ, on his ministry here on earth, he had the multitudes, and then he had his disciples, and then he had even fewer than that. He had like the three that he hung out with. And I think for me, that's just been something that God's been impressing on me, has just been like we're supposed to share the gospel with everyone, but then we're supposed to really hone in on those like few people that God puts on our hearts and our lives. So yeah, that's basically all I had to share. Thanks.
Hey guys, I'm Sam. Oh man. All right. So the way my trip became a reality is, like, I wasn't expecting to go because, like, God really put me in this place. He really did. I mean, like, I had a plan all my own. He just totally shut it down, you know, praise his name. And I'm here. And I'll be going to Nicaragua as soon as the semester is over. I'll be there next Monday. I wasn't expecting to go, honestly. I kind of wrote this paper just because I've been there before. I have family there. And it's been my parents' ministry for years. And, you know, I left it to them, you know, growing up. Honestly, and I didn't even know what the heck being a Christian was all about for the longest time, you know, doing ministry. What the heck was that? I didn't know. And now I get to see it, you know, firsthand, you know, just how much I've grown this semester. And you know, the scripture that tests me the most is just like, you know, Stephen's martyrdom. You know, he was looking into eternity. He wasn't looking into the current circumstances. And, you know, whatever happens on this trip, you know, it's going to be awesome because this is the first time I'm going to, it's going to be for God's glory. You know, all the other times, you know, it's like all, you know, it was all about me, how much fun I wanted to have, you know, going to Nicaragua. But there is a need for the gospel in Nicaragua. You know, as far as territory goes, you know, it's mostly Catholic. Mormonism is growing, Jehovah's Witness is growing there, and you know, God's just like opened this door, you know, and I just want to be used, and it's exciting, and I'm super scared at the same time. So prayer would be awesome, and that's it.
Hi guys, I'm Anna, and so over the paper that I just wrote, the Lord has just really given me a heart for Utah and Idaho, and it's just like the Mormon church there in general, and I used to be Mormon, and I'm living in Utah right now as well, and so my connections were really easy, but I guess my dream mission trip would just be like just going throughout the whole state of Utah and then into Idaho as well, because it's just in our own backyard, and these people, they don't know what grace is, and they keep on working to earn their grace as well. And so, it would start in, like, Colorado City, and there's a polygamous compound down there, Warren Jeff, I guess you've probably heard of them. But, so we would go and, like, help out that outreach and then continue up into, like, BYU area and Salt Lake City area and then into Idaho, and just the Lord is just completely just spreading revival throughout those whole two states right now. And so, hopefully that mission trip will be available next semester or the following. So,
well, I'm writing about something that my church did in the past in the summer, but it's good. We went to Hungary and we just started ministering to the people there in Budapest. This is the place where the Iron Curtain was, and then there's a whole bunch of communism there, but in about late 1980s or early 1990s it fell and Calvary Chapel went in there, and so I'm praying for them and like to see it happen, and Europe's going to just be blessed, so it's going to be, we're going to, we're just going to see things go on and all that, and just the Lord's going to move, so just pray for that. So thanks.
What's up, guys? Name's Drew, for those who don't know me. But just kind of wrote my paper on Japan, kind of have a heart for it. And I don't know how much of this is true, but I think they took a lot of what Americans like do here and they kind of put it into practice in Japan. That's kind of why like Tokyo is like all lit up like New York, and like, but they're just very, very into the world, and they like following, I feel like they like following us, and it's just kind of sad to see like what example like Americans have given them, but just kind of my heart is to just share the gospel with them and just let them know that there's a Savior that loves them, and just kind of want to like lead worship there too, because I think they like people coming in from like different areas to come and play for them. I think there was a story that someone had shared with me. There was a band that, or concert that I went to, and I don't know if it was like Jeremy Camp or Pillar or something, but sharing the story how they all came on stage and like they didn't cheer for them. They were just like, okay, and they started talking, still nothing, and then all of a sudden when they started playing, like the crowd just went crazy. They started taking pictures, and just like it sounded like it was fun. So I like leading worship, so I just figured it'd be a fun place to lead worship and a good place to share the gospel, and just kind of have a heart for it and hope to one day go. So, thank you.
I actually didn't want to come up at all, but I kind of felt like I should. I think the thing that God's been putting on my heart lately is, and I kind of wrote my paper about it, was how God prepares you for the mission field. And I think how everything's a mission field, our lives. A little background, my name's Anthony, by the way. I'm from Costa Mesa, kind of, from San Clemente. But I wrote about Mexico, and I ended up going twice last semester. And it's funny, because when I got saved, before I got saved, I met this a little backstory, how like God prepares you. Before I got saved, I was working at this restaurant in San Clemente, and just going through a lot of brokenness, and just kind of seeking the Lord and trying to figure out, you know, what God had for me. And I was driving to Costa Mesa like every week, and I met this skate kid, and his name was Mitch, and he was in the Mormon church for a long time. And we were both like, hey, you know what, man, we're not gonna be drinking anymore. We're gonna try to get our lives together. And it was cool, and I didn't know how to skate, and I ended up getting a deck, and I had like a Sector 9. I set it up on this old deck, and we'd skate around town in San Clemente, and everyone would be at the bars, and we'd just skate around, like, you know, trying to figure out what we're going to do with ourselves. And it was cool because I ended up building a relationship with this kid, and I got involved in a skate ministry called Zion Skate. It's in Orange. And my friend Chase Acuna, he's been in the church for a long time, and Jesse Suarez, he ended up serving there. I met Timmy Time there before I even came here. Timmy prayed for me before I came here, and God just prepared the way beforehand. And I was so worried. I'm like, Lord, where am I going to go? Like, what am I going to do? And God prepared this, and I ended up serving the skate ministry, and it was really cool. And I remember, you know, wanting to go off. All I wanted to do was go off. I wanted to go to Hawaii, and then Brian Broderson came up, and he was like, hey, you know, Anthony, I see you at church. What are you up to, you know? And I was just like, oh, I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to sell my car. I'm buying a scooter. I'm going to go to YWAM. This is going to be amazing, right? So I tell Broderson, and he's like, oh, really? You should check out Calvary Chapel Bible College in Marietta. And I actually came with Mark Menzel and a friend of mine, and we came down and checked out the campus, and I was just so blessed, and I just knew this was where God wanted me. And it just made sense, and God prepared the way. And when I came here, I became really good friends with Jesse right before I came here, and his family's like Mexican. Like, they're just straight, like, They're legit people, and they love you. You come in, and you're just like, I don't speak Spanish, but his grandma speaks me in Spanish all the time. She wakes me up, papas and huevos, what do you want for breakfast, you know? And I'm just like, wow, this is cool. Like, I need this love right now. Like, I don't have a lot of family, so I was just super blessed by it. And I'm trying to step out in faith, and I'm coming to Bible college, and I work this job catering in catering weddings. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to work this job. I just want to go to Bible college. I want to let go of this job. I just want to go and you know, and not have to worry. Like, I want to be a Bible college kid or something. Or I want to, like, start over. I want to be 18 years old again and, like, go to school and just, like. And for some reason, the Lord just impressed on my heart, like, just stick with it, Anthony. Just, I want you to do this. And I'm driving every weekend down to San Clemente, doing classes, leaving on the weekend. And I'm working these weddings, and I'm just building a witness with these people. And I'm staying at Jesse's house on the couch, on the floor, just different places. I got, you know, deodorant in my car. I'm, like, taking showers at people's houses. And I'm just like, man, this is crazy. But I was just super blessed. You know, there'd be nights where I didn't know where I was going to stay. I thought I'm going to sleep in my car for sure. And people would open up their home to me. And I never had that before. But I was really just trusting in the Lord. And I built such a tight relationship with Jesse's family. And I went to Mexican weddings and met his whole family. His cousin's like Braulio, and he's got like tattoos on his head. He's just like gangster, like really cool people. And then he's got like, I don't know, just, you know, Christmas and just tamales and everything. And I put such a desire for Mexico in my heart. So I ended up going to Mexico, and I went twice last semester. I was just on fire, and someone provided the money and said, hey, the second trip's paid for. And I went out, and God just put such a desire for missions on my heart. And I thought, I'm going to be a missionary in Mexico. And next thing you know, like, you know, I still have a desire for that, but I realize God's desire is, you know, what God's been speaking to me this semester is, it's God who works in you both the will and to do for his good pleasure. And it's God who has prepared those works beforehand so that you shall walk in them. And God has a work for each one of us, and that's to share the gospel, that's to be disciples of Jesus Christ, that's to make disciples, that's to go out, and that's what we're supposed to do, that's our purpose. But God, like, you don't have to worry. Like, my first semester, I wanted to go to Haiti, too. I was like, yeah, I want to go to Haiti. And I did this mission prayer group, and I was just like, yeah, all I want to do is go to Haiti. And I'm like, man, I don't know. Haiti's pretty intense. Like, I don't know if I want to go to Haiti. But I know I want to do whatever God has for me. And, like, God will prepare
the way beforehand. Like, Jesus went before you. He already prepared the way. He did. He walked the walk that we couldn't walk. He went out. So as long as we're seeking Jesus, you know, like, another thing I feel like God really pressed on my heart, and it's super simple, and it's, you know, in his presence, there's fullness of joy, in his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And it's true. When you're seeking the Lord, God has those good works for you, and he's going to set them in front of you, and all you have to do is walk in. He opens the door only he can open. He closes the doors only he can close. So I don't know if someone's maybe kind of thinking, you know, what does God have for me? What does God have for me? Like, I thought I'd be going to Mexico. I thought I was going to learn Spanish last semester. And then lately, the kid from Zion Skate, I talked to him, and he's stepping down, and they need teachers. And I want to get a group together and go out and start teaching. And I want to start getting a group of guys and just pouring into these kids, you know. I went the other week, and it was just sweet, you know, skating with these kids and hanging out. And I was talking to this one little kid, and it's just funny the experiences you have, you know, just hanging out with these kids and just spending time with them, even the simple things, you know, just funny stuff, man. This little kid, Frankie, is hanging out with them, and he's just all cold, and it's kind of an embarrassing story, but I think it's funny just spending time with these kids. But I put my jacket around him, and it's, like, way too big for him, and I'm just hanging out. And the guy's teaching from school ministry, and he's like, hey, you know, he goes, you know, Jesus has water that you can, you know, you'll never thirst when you drink this water. And I'm telling him, you hear that? And he's like, yeah. Every time I look at him, he kind of turns his face, and I'm like, hey, did you hear what he said now? Like, you know, Jesus has this for you and that for you. And he's like, yeah. And I tell him one more time, and he goes, your breath stinks. And I just thought it was funny, like, you know, I'm probably drinking coffee all day, but it's just funny spending time with these kids, like, laughing. And the next time I see that kid, like, I want to love him, because I just told someone, I'm like, man, this kid's funny, like, he's just sweet. So, like, I'll keep my time short. I'm sorry I'm taking a long time, but it's just funny, like, it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You don't have to worry, you don't have to stress. God's got it in control. I you know, as far as I've been walking with the Lord, I was so anxious, and I was so worried, and I had so much going on in my head, like, Lord, what do you have for me? You know, God has so much for you. Like, you don't have to worry. Be anxious for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication, you know? Just put it before the Lord and take your time. Just seek the Lord. This life has, you know, it's very short. And like Chuck says, the only things you do for Christ are the ones that are going to last. Everything else is going to pass. So just an encouragement. Don't worry. Just seek the Lord, and God has so much. Like, he's going to prepare the way. It's going to be perfect. He'll put you in the right places. It'll be different than what you thought, but God's ways are not our ways, and they're much better. So, yeah, thank you.
Hello, brethren and sistren. My name is Jeremiah, and I'm going to Haiti on the December 27th, so, like, get back, enjoy Christmas with the fam, and then I'm headed off to Haiti for December 27th to January 2nd. So is that like 6 days or something? And God's definitely providing. Like, just a couple weeks ago, I was in the coffee shop reading, and then I get a text. I look at it, and it's like a old friend, and she's like, "Are you still going to Haiti?" And I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "I went to Haiti too, and people gave me so much money. And I want to give you the rest of it because I didn't need it." And I was like, wow, sweet. So it was like $100. And like, oh, God's providing. Because I'm not working right now, obviously. I'm at Bible college. But when we're there, we go to this, the headquarters. Do you guys remember Brian McDaniels? He spoke up here. Some of you might know Christian McDaniels. He's a student here. He was talking about it. I'll be going with him, with Cross to Light, it's called. And they have this headquarters, and it's on top of a hill. And it's a Bible college for just Haitians. And they raise them up. They take pastors from all across America, and they bring them in, and they do, like, block classes and teach them the Bible. These guys are learning the Bible, and they're so strong. And they send them out specifically to tent cities. There's so many churches popping up in tent cities. And then I just always get excited when I talk to Brian McDaniels, because he's a family friend. And he's a good friend with my dad. And we've gone over to Haiti before. My dad used to be a missionary in Haiti with my mom back in the 80s and whatnot. And And I always get excited, and I guess there's like a straight revival there. That there's a place called Cape Haitian, and there is a church there that is now like 2,000 people. It just started like a couple months ago, and my mind is blown. When we go there, anyhow, we're going to go into the 10 cities and serve in the churches, come alongside the pastors that are like new pastors, young and but just on fire. These guys are so passionate. And so pretty much I have no idea how to speak French or Creole, except Jesus Romeo, Jesus loves you. And I'll just say that everywhere, Jesus Romeo. That's like, actually, I love doing that. But yeah, and then also we go to orphanages. It's just a blessing, and it was an eye opener for me because I've never been to a third world country. And I've never been the same because we have so much here and they have so little. And just to wrap it up, the last thing is the kids, they're always singing this song, and they say pom pom say wah, pom pom say wah, pom pom say wah, pom pom say wah, pom pom say wah. I'm like, wow, what is that song? It's so catchy. And they're singing, my father is a king, my father is a king, my father is a king. That just blessed my heart because they're so poor, yet they have a smile on their face knowing that they have a king. Their father is a king in heaven, and oh, it's so sweet. So I'll be going December 27th. Pray for me. All right.
Got all of 2 minutes, so I'm gonna keep this really short. I wrote my paper on Mongolia, and it's not what I'm gonna talk about here, but if anyone actually does want to hear more about that, it is an amazing place. The people there have a fire and a passion that would be so beautiful if that was directed at God, and they have an openness to the gospel. So again, if anyone has the thought even enters your mind, feel free to talk to me about it. It is a very open field. What I did want to talk about was a little bit more on the homeless outreach a few days ago. I mean, from the outset, that was amazing. Just seeing about, 20, 25 people from the Bible College, these people filled with a willingness and a joy to go out and do God's work. It was an amazing example of humility and allowing God to do his work through us in an unrestricted manner, to allow the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives. I mean, that joy for what we're doing doesn't come naturally. That comes from God. But what I want to address most is something that's been convicting me lately. What the people we're ministering to down there, they don't even live in tents. They live in makeshift coverings from the weather. They have so little. And what strikes me is that they're very far from the worst off in the world. I mean, that's the norm in many places. And then I look at my life, and I look at the comforts of my life, the excess I have in my life, and I compare those two situations, and it makes me think of Matthew 19:21, when Jesus is talking to the rich young man. He says, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Now, Jesus was talking to the rich young man, and people will debate exactly how this applies to us, but I think there's a very clear principle that we cannot deny. And that is Jesus' heart for the poor. That is our responsibility to them. We were just discussing this morning. It was Dave Shirley. He said something along the line, he was responding to 1 Corinthians 15:28. It says, when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. It's talking about Jesus. And Jesus, of course, is our example. What Dave Shirley was saying is that when God gives us anything in our life, we are to subject that back to him. We are to use that for his work. So when God gives us blessings, when God gives us, say, material wealth, what is he wanting us to do with that? Is he wanting us to add comfort, surplus, and luxury to our lives? Or are we to minister those who actually have a legitimate need, who have survival at stake? And I'm not saying go sell every single thing you have and become that person who is now dependent on others. Obviously, we need a standard so we can continue being productive. But I live well above that standard. I'm already over time. I'm just going to end it here. God, I pray that you can give us, that you would give us a glimpse of what John saw of the throne room of God, what Isaiah saw of your majesty, your glory, of you as our King and you as our Lord, that which makes you awesome and wonderful, high and exalted. Lord, I pray that when we see this, we respond, as Hebrews says, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire, for our God is a consuming fire. Lord, please show us yourself in a way that devastates us, that causes us to be completely empty of who we are and to be completely submissive to you and have our life be defined by that worship, that worship with reverence, and that worship with awe for your majesty, God, for your glory that is so far beyond us. And God, we come to you asking this confident but humble in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
How's it going, guys? My name is Trevor Johnson. I'm the nephew of Magic Johnson, and obviously, but I was doing my paper, and I was kind of doing it for, you know, the grade, so I was doing it real quick, just like, you know, I kind of feel called to Australia, so I was like, you know, I'm going to search up some people there, find out some obscure group, and it'll make the perfect paper, you know, talk about how God's calling me and stretching me there, but I never took it in prayerful consideration, and as I was thinking about it, over the years, I feel I've been called to the music scene, and more specifically, the rock, metal, kind of that scene. And a lot of people shy away at the thought of that, at metal and stuff. It's just, it's screaming. There's guys up there sounding like pigs, and it's supposed to be attractive, you know? It's just like, I mean, like, how can you like that style, you know? It's just a bunch of guys wanting to look different and sounding somewhat demonic at times, you know? And a lot of people, like, I know from personal experience, having been in metal bands and stuff too, that when trying to find shows and stuff, there are people that automatically reject you for being different like that. They think it's predetermined in their mind that you're demonic, and for liking that song music, you're condemned to hell, and I've gotten a lot of heat from that too. And so just knowing personally, and being a Christian band too, I was a Christian metal band, and being rejected by that, and having been in metal bands and stuff too, and back in my junior high / emo days, I know that being rejected is almost something we thrive off of. And so it's cool, you know, in a sense to be rejected, because then you can dwell within your shell, you can build up this bitterness and stuff and go against society and go against all its norms and stuff, go against what everyone else likes, you know, find some sort of demonic squeal or something like that, and society hates it, so cool, let's keep this going. And so just knowing that, I feel called to that because I can identify with these people and know that I wanted to get across to them that there's love out there for them, even them, yes, them, the guy with the crazy mohawk, the girl with the shaved head, everything, you know, it's just because you wear somebody, just because you dress a certain way does not mean you're rejected, and Christ sees past those physical barriers, you know. And so I know earlier on this year, I went to play at a summer camp, or January, winter camp. And so I was there, and we got the whole stage set up and everything. We got fog machines going, everything. And, like, my youth pastor's building up. He's like, we're going to get, like, there were, like, 400 kids there. And so we were stoked. My band was stoked. And so we get ready. We get all the kids coming in, start playing our song. And right as we start playing, I notice half the group just leaves. And I was like, whoa. And it was kind of distracting the entire time. And so just, like, that right away, just was like, wow. People reject us straight off the bat just because we're different than what they like. And so I feel that the Holy Spirit calling me just to get into that scene and to get across to those people that also have felt the same things I have. And they're rejected for what they think is much worse. And so I just want to get to them and share the love of Christ in there, seeing as it's very a negative and hate-driven scene. And so I feel that's my calling, so.
Okay, now, that last one. What's your name?
Trevor.
Okay, and that's not about age, but you know what? Maybe many years ago, I would have gotten up and said verbatim what you just said. I, too, my friend, was very into heavy metal. I had hair all the way down my back. I am a rock and roll man. I am serious. Okay, I was at every Led Zeppelin concert, front row. I started mosh pits. Okay, I mean, I love crowd surfing. If I could jump on top of you guys, but just why not, right? I mean, that to me is what I, and I'm not saying that's what I. Okay, you ever heard of Soma, that place in San Diego? Okay, I mean, I feel weird having my son go to it. But, you know, it's kind of like some of the bands that are there, and I'm not endorsing it. I'm not saying anything. That at rock and roll, there's definitely an expression of music in that. Screamo, hello, favorite, I'm just saying. But it's just kind of like, and the only reason why I say that is because there's something about that, the honesty so often that I see in that music is that somebody's, you know, they're pouring their whole in being out. It isn't, you know, I used to play classical guitar for many years. And I almost used to just pray that my guitar would explode at the end of one of my concerts, right? Because I just wanted to just, you know, put that out there. Anyway, thank you for sharing that. Because I really, really can relate to that big time. All these testimonies. The Holy Spirit's doing a really cool thing here. Thank you so much, Andrew, for sharing today. Thank you for, you know, Sophia sharing. Thank you for people dumping out their oil. You know, all of us could be doing that in here. But what I'd like you to do in conclusion, I want you to look at one passage of Scripture. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. if you have your Bible with you, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 12 to 16. Paul picking up Timothy, as you remember, on his missionary trip, he recognized some attributes in Timothy. Timothy was a fearful man. Timothy did have parents who definitely put the word of God into his heart. Timothy clearly was capable of understanding doctrine, but actually putting it into practice, Paul had to really encourage this guy. And it says in verse 12, a major encouragement I would encourage you to receive from somebody who's older than you, who's seen God working in your lives. This is what this passage is for. Verse 12 to 16. Is when it says, let no one despise your youth. I love the word youth there. It's neotis. Neotis means anyone less than 40 years old. So, hello, you don't have to feel like you're 18. You know, it's somebody under 40. Let's face it. When you see that, you go, what does it mean to be despising somebody's youth? You're going to go home to your churches, and very often they're just going to say to you, you know, all you can really be at this point in your life is a youth pastor. There's nothing wrong with youth pastors. Nothing. And maybe some of you really have a desire for that. But guess what? Some of you may have a desire to help out adults who are really cold in the faith. You can go to a lot of Calvary Chapels now. It feels like you're walking into a Catholic church. It just feels like, what happened? Where's the enthusiasm? The worship starts, and you're just going like, you want to put your head up to their mouth, and you go, is anything coming out? There's nothing. What happened? Do you realize that you can bring a lot of that revival and enthusiasm to your fellowships just by just being there and singing in the churches? People turn like, wow, somebody's singing? You know, it's just weird. It's like, I can hear somebody here. Shh, you know, we want them to sing. Right? It was like, all right. You know, they don't, because you're not in tune, I get it. But you know, you can bring a lot of enthusiasm. And that letting no one despise your youth is really, no one let anyone despise your passion for Jesus. Be an example to the believers in word, conduct, love, spirit, and faith. You can do a, we did this here. We did a word study on each one of those words on a Sunday night. Each one was a Sunday night. And every one of those words is something that you just relish during your break to understand, what am I bringing to my family and to the churches that I'm going home to? Am I bringing a word? And am I bringing an attitude? And am I demonstrating love? Do I have an attitude of a spirit that is one that's wanting to be teachable, one who can teach, one who has got an attitude of faith? And is there a purity attitude? Those are all attributes that hopefully we're learning while we're here. Till I come, give attention to reading and to exhortation, to studying doctrine, yes, to each of those. Don't neglect the gift that's in you, that was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. When it says don't neglect the gift that's given to you, each of us know that God has called us to a specific area. And if you don't know that area, that's one of the reasons why you're here, to understand what gifts and calling of God he has in your life and to use them with confidence, which is one of the reasons why even like Sunday nights and even classes like this or anything that you have an opportunity to use your gift, just use it. This is the greatest opportunity, is to practice using the gifts God's given to you. How do I understand it even better? Is when it says meditate on these things, and when it says give yourselves entirely to them, in other words, give your entire concentration to your calling and your gifts and how you're to be using them right now, that your progress may be evident to all. You don't have to fight to show that you're walking and that you're growing. It's going to be evident to everybody else that, hey, I grew this semester. There's no one that has to make a measuring stick for you. It's evident by your attitude, and it's evident by how have I grown in word, conduct, love, and in spirit, in faith, in purity. Has that changed since you've been here this semester? Has it changed over the last week? Of those areas that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you in? Because it's a dynamic process. Taking heed to myself and to what I'm learning, continuing in them, doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Save, what does that mean? I thought I was saved. You realize that you, yes, you are saved, but you are living, not but, and you are living in a saving faith, just like the way sanctification works. You are completely holy right now, and you're holyizing right now. You're progressing in understanding what that first justification was. So I'm living out justification by sanctification. I'm living out what it means to be holy because I am holy. You are holy. Did you know that? You are. You think you're holier than thou? We make fun of that statement, but you are holier than thou was before. Because guess what? You're growing in it with this process of being made holy right this second. And what's the evidence of that? Am I changing in the way I talk? The way my attitude is demonstrated? Am I changing in the way I show my love for my brothers and sisters? And am I showing any difference in understanding that spirit, that attitude of what God is working in my inward man, demonstrated by my outward man? Do I have a desire to go? Do I have, and you wrote that paper, and it maybe have been this real hypothetical thing, and you probably, just like the guy said, he wrote it really quick just to get the assignment done. But as the assignment became a reality, is it a reality? Is it something you're willing to do? Because I can tell you right now, guys, God's looking more for your willingness than anything else, because it boils down to attitude. Content, pleasing God, those two attitudes that God's looking at in my heart and in your heart. I can tell you right now, I woke up this morning in the middle of a conference call. looked at my watch, and I went, I am not going to miss this class. I just spent every single time I've come up here this semester. It has been a literal, I might as well have been driving through Vietnam warfare. I kid you not. People cutting me off on the freeway. People looking at me like, you're not going to make it this time. And they pull in front of me and slow down. And I pull right in front of them and jam on the brakes and run them off the road. No. But what I did is this. As I showed that the Lord wants me here this semester. That's all I can tell you. But guess what? Guess what I'm really ecstatic about? He really wants me to go to China. He really wants you to go to Hemet. He really wants you to go to wherever your calling is, to go there and be there. Skater, love it. What a great thing to do as a ministry. The key is to live out your passion for Jesus Christ. That's the calling that you have on your life. You don't have to be a cookie cutter Calvary Chapel pastor who's going to put the fish up and just hope everybody arrives. Guess what? Those days not only are over, they didn't exist. Every single pastor will say, that never happened here. It was a lot of hard work. It was a whole different gig. Ask any missionary who's been on the field. There's nothing the same for one person compared to the next. We read testimonies. We can't believe how God uses people. Talk to George Mueller sometime. Fully on broke. Groceries at the front door. He had no idea how he was going to get there. How he was ever going to take care of all the kids. God provides ravens for Elijah. He's going to do it for you. He is the provider. He is the one who's guiding you. And he is faithful and he is true. His word is truth.